On July 30th, the Washington Post announced a $500,000 grant from the Ford Foundation to expand coverage that would be used for, quote, special projects related to politics, money, and government. This is the second Ford Foundation grant awarded to a newspaper this year, with $500,000 going to the L.A. Times in May. Nonprofit giving to the ailing for-profit newspaper industry seems like it might just be a present and future business model for monetizing the newspaper industry.
Present and future business models to monetize the newspaper industry.
But when a nonprofit starts subsidizing the operations of a for-profit newspaper, some questions come up. Jonathan Barzilay of the Ford Foundation joins us now to address them. Jonathan, welcome to On the Media.
Thanks, Bob. Great to be here.
When a newspaper accepts outside funding, let's say not from an advertiser or a subscriber, is there a surrender of editorial independence?
The newspapers have complete editorial independence over what they cover. And you raise the correct precedent, I think, which is that for over 100 years, American newsrooms have been supported by advertisers, and the leadership of those newsrooms have managed to balance independent editorial news gathering against the commercial support that they get from advertisers. We have confidence that the leadership of the LA Times and the Washington Post can manage any balancing that's required here.
Isn't the earmark itself almost by definition a kind of dictation of coverage?
Our interest is in supporting principled journalistic coverage of complex social issues. How that is done is entirely up to the newsrooms. It's true that if a newsroom had come to us and said, we'd like support for a reporter to cover interplanetary exploration, that's not something we would entertain because it's not an area in which our foundation works. But the areas in which we are supporting coverage here were determined by the newspapers themselves. They came to us and said, this is what we'd like to do. We do not have the resources to cover these areas. And we were receptive to that.
The Washington Post and the LA Times both are in financial extremis and have been for years, and as a consequence have been cutting and slashing away. Now, the Post, the newspaper, is a subsidiary of the Washington Post company, which has other interests. And when they cut from the newspaper, it gets moved to the bigger corporation. So if they cut $500,000 out of their budget in 2013, have you not just written a $500,000 check to the Washington Post company?
We certainly can't draw a line and say that we could only consider supporting a standalone company. Many journalistic enterprises are part of larger corporations. The fact is those newsrooms also remain under tremendous pressure. Our grants, they are specifically designated for hiring certain reporters to cover certain beats. The beats are determined by the newspaper and the coverage is determined by the newspaper, but it's not the case that this is the same money that gets moved around.
The Ford Foundation is a tax-exempt organization, which means that one step removed, there's a federal subsidy to the Washington Post that is part and parcel of this $500,000 grant. Are you concerned at all, or should I be concerned, that this is an indirect taxpayer support for a for-profit enterprise?
We're not the first foundation to make a grant to a for-profit news gathering operation. So there's precedent for it, and indeed the IRS rules contemplate grants to for-profit enterprises. And I'd like to point out the lion's share of the money that we grant in this area continues to go to public media. We support New York Public Radio, Southern California Public Radio, WGBH, WNET, NPR. And we look at these two grants to the LA Times and the Washington Post as experimental grants as part of a balanced portfolio that is interested in sustaining the vital role of serious journalism in our democracy.
Does this mean that public radio is suddenly in competition not only with other public media, but with the entire for-profit journalism world for the funding from foundations like yours?
I think it's fair to say that the future is a model of hybrids, right? ProPublica, which is a not-for-profit newsroom staffed largely by people who previously worked at big city dailies and investigative newsrooms across the country, has been awarded two Pulitzer Prizes and numerous other accolades, and its journalism is having an impact all over the country. And it may be the case that in the future, public media will feel a little different than it does today, and private media will feel a little different than it does today. Our interest at the Ford Foundation is in the broader issue. If we don't support this, will this coverage vanish? It has vanished in certain cities, it has vanished in certain markets, and we think it's vital to continue investing in the production of serious news gathering. To wake up 10 years hence without serious news gathering in this country would be an immeasurable loss.
Jonathan, thank you very much.
Thanks, Bob.
Jonathan Barsalet is director of the Freedom of Expression Unit at the Ford Foundation. Public radio has been accepting nonprofit grants for decades, and NPR's Senior Vice President for News, Margaret Lowe Smith, says that there should be no worries about any editorial impropriety resulting from those grants, because it's not the foundations coming to public radio with an editorial agenda, it's the other way around.
So, for example, if you have a foundation interested in investigations or science coverage, we will go to them for certain kinds of grants in general. It's not like a funder comes to us and says, hey, we want you to do X, Y, and Z, and we say, yes, that simply can't happen. It has to be the reverse order.
So the Gates Foundation might underwrite coverage for global health issues or education, and the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, a longtime underwriter, subsidizes coverage on health care and so forth.
Exactly.
Now, the obvious risk would be for some funder to say, look here, I don't like your coverage of this, that, or the other thing. This needs to be addressed. Fix it. Do this, do that.
God forbid that were to happen, it wouldn't be possible for them to be an NPR underwriter. There's sort of a, in effect, an explicit agreement, which is that we go to underwriters with areas of coverage that we define as vitally important for us to report on. They may or may not be interested, but if they say they're interested, they're supporting our editorial agenda.
Your editorial calendar and your resources are determined in part by what pots of money you have available to you. Is there not some surrender of editorial independence because of the budget situation?
I think you're making the assumption that we cover what people are willing to pay for rather than we say, here's what we want to cover. This is a priority whether we get funding or not. If you can pay for it, it will make it possible. I'm not even sure I cede the notion or the idea that it's earmarked and therefore allows us to do more of one thing and less of another.
Is there anything about the connection between foundations and for-profit papers that raises a red flag for you?
What strikes me almost immediately, Bob, is that people are in some ways emulating what public media has done for a long time. You know, obviously, I think there are questions to be answered in terms of how it's going to work and whether it will be successful.
There was a time when NPR was sort of the heroic alternative to the dominant for-profit media out there that were just money engines. Did you ever imagine that you'd be having this conversation?
No, and it's actually, I think it's painful for all of us to watch the bottom fall out of a really important industry. And I don't think I saw it coming, and quite honestly, I don't think my journalist counterparts at newspapers saw it coming either.
Margaret, one last question. Now, not just editorially, but financially, you're in competition with the LA Times and the Washington Post and perhaps others looking for foundation funding. Are you going to target these news organizations and destroy them?
As news organizations, you know, you're always in a kind of competition to be the very best, to have the most compelling and important coverage. That being said, I think to sort of see it as something that's going to eat our lunch is not the right way to look at it. I think it's a real statement about the importance of the business that we're in. And that if the commercial market isn't going to support journalism, that people are going to have to seek other ways to make sure that this work continues to get done.
Margaret, thank you very much.
You're welcome, Bob. It was a pleasure talking to you.
Margaret Lowe Smith is Senior Vice President for News at NPR.